I didn't want to lie to her. But I couldn't bring myself to tell her the truth either. "I'm okay," I said, trying to sound reassuring. "I should probably head back soon. You know how my mom gets if I'm not home in time for dinner." When we stood to leave, I waved goodbye as Smilla turned and ran toward her house, making sure she wasn't watching before I headed for mine. The thought of running the whole length of the trail home made me feel exhausted. Though I left myself plenty of time to get there, it still took much longer than it should have, and my mother was already setting the table when I arrived. She had her hair pulled back in a ponytail, but standing over the boiling pots had made a few wisps frizz their way out. "I asked you not to stay out too long," she said. "Remember?" "Sorry," I said, trying to sound casual. She probably thought I had lingered talking to Smilla. The truth was worse, so I didn't argue. She sighed and turned back to the stove. "How's Smilla?"
"She's okay."
By this point, my feet were throbbing and my hands were trembling again, and all I wanted was to go upstairs and take a quick shower. But my mother must have sensed something off in my tone, because she looked over her shoulder at me.
"Is something going on?"
"Nope, just tired." She looked unconvinced, but before she could ask any follow-up questions, the oven timer went off, drawing her attention. "All right, well, go get cleaned up. Dinner's almost done." In the shower, I tried to relax my sore feet and settle my trembling hands. And at the table, I told myself to calm down and act normal. But I was focusing so hard on not shaking the spaghetti on my fork that I didn't hear my father addressing me until he said,
"Anna, you okay, honey?"
"Hmm?" I said.
"I asked how Smilla's doing."
"Oh, she's fine." My mother raised an eyebrow.
"Are you sure everything's all right?" asked my father.
I looked at him and then at my mother. They had both put their forks down and were studying my face. I mustered a shrug.
"I was just thinking about this bio test I have coming up. It's no big deal."
My father was a worrier, and he panicked whenever I had so much as a sniffle. I couldn't imagine how he'd react to my nagging pain, fatigue, and shaking. My mother was calmer, stoic in the extreme. But she was a pragmatist, and if she knew I was having unusual aches and twitches, I'd be at the doctor's office before I could blink. My mother resumed eating but kept a skeptical eye on me. My father watched me for another long minute, his face scrunched up like he didn't believe me. But I shrugged at him again and didn't give him any more information, so what else could he do? I barely slept that night. The low, slow thrum of the throbbing pulsed through my feet and ankles, and it seemed to be spreading to my calves, too. I flipped onto my side and then onto my stomach, but nothing helped me fall asleep. The numbers on my clock radio progressed onward, burning a hole in the night with their red glow. Eventually, hours after my parents went to bed, I got up and rustled through the bathroom medicine chest for a pain reliever. I hadn't taken anything up to that point, stubbornly refusing to acknowledge the pain. But now I just wanted to sleep. I swallowed a couple pills and headed back to my room. But when I got there, I went and stood by the window instead of getting in bed. Through the blinds, the full harvest moon shone in at me, and I couldn't look away. I pulled up the shade and stared at the hypnotic glowing sphere hanging like a magnet on the sky. Its textures and shades, its slow procession through the tree branches and over the yard. I watched until it was out of sight, and then collapsed into a restless sleep.